This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/MBO. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, we've reached it. We've reached the pinnacle of the Miami Open. Thursday, going into the semifinals of the women, going into really some of the heavy hitters on the men's side. Still some quarterfinal action to get through, but it's Tennis Bets Live, streaming on all your platforms, YouTube, Tennis.com, Facebook, and Tennis Bets Twitter. We got the trio here. We got the gang all back ready to dish out some bets, getting you ready for the final leg of Miami Open. Kenny Ducey, Zachary Cohn, and Pamela Maldonado. It's the final stages of the Miami Open. Kenny on my left shoulder there on the screen. Thoughts on where we are so far? I mean, you kind of got some of your wishes here. We've got some dramatic matches. We've got some heavy hitters. And on the men's side, we're gearing up for a showdown of the titans of the game at the top yet again.
Yeah, I was going to say the women's side. I mean, it's been really nice to see Danielle come through and have a little bit of a career resurgence. But yeah, I mean, sort of what we talked about last show, right? I mean, it felt like the draw was shaking out to be a little bit boring, and Zverev came on the court and just absolutely hit Khachanov back into his hotel room and back away from Miami. And like, I don't know. I mean, it was an impressive performance, and I'm excited to see him face what you would assume is Carlos Alcaraz in the semifinal. And then we're going to have two pretty captivating semifinals, you would hope, unless someone pulls an upset today, which, as we'll talk about today, I don't know how much confidence the other panelists have in that.
Yeah, we'll see. Again, we're in that split stage where we got one semifinal set. It's Medvedev and Sinner and Pamela Maldonado. I was watching the Medvedev match last night, and it just strikes me that this guy finds a way. Like, again, it was a second set tiebreak, wasn't his best game. The crowd's going nuts for their Chilean guy. But later stages, Medvedev, as ugly as it looks at times, just gets to the net shaking hands and waving.
I like what I saw from Medvedev as far as his mentality. He was not fazed at all by the crowd. He was very lasered in. He tends to, at least even just once in a tournament, reacts to the crowd, throwing up his arms, does some type of antic, kind of becomes more of an entertainer. But he was locked in yesterday. So his focus is on. And that's what I like to see from him, because it's really allowing him to bring more of his A game that we're used to seeing.
Yeah, maybe it was kind of just even keel after Jari sent that ball girl to the hospital. I'm kidding. She didn't actually get injured that bad, but it was.
What is it with Miami and ball kids? And there was an unnamed player who threw a racket at a ball boy. It was, what's going on here?
Yeah, and Zico, Zachary Cohn, look to you as the weather expert. We'll see how that goes today, but interesting stuff, especially. You know, on the women's side, this is the land of opportunity. And last night, yesterday, we saw some real opportunity rear its form there. So what are your thoughts kind of on the final weekend here in Miami?
Yeah, I mean, it was tough kind of seeing Pegula lose. This felt like a really good opportunity for her to, you know, set up an All-American clash in the semis and potentially win another Masters 1000. So I thought that was a little bit of a bummer. But, you know, Alexandrova played really well. And hopefully this ends up being Collins' tournament. I think that we've seen her play some of the best tennis we've seen her play in a while. I know she reacted pretty poorly to people saying it, but it is a shame to see her stepping away when she's playing so well. And I do think that she's going to keep this up. So it's hopefully that's the story on the women's side.
Show me the person who had Collins to win this tournament. Please come out. I want to know. How did you call it?
I love watching the Danimal play, because she's just going to do her own. I mean, that's a fearless player. And that's somebody that when the press conference came, it's like, why are you retiring or playing good? She just kind of was like, look, I made up my mind. Like, you're not talking about.
Like her return right now is like the equivalent of a bad serve. Like, she's returning, like winning, like holding. I mean, break percentage wise is just so high.
And there's the compete factor. There's something about it. Like, look, she doesn't really care what's going on the other side of the net. She's going to get out there and just punch you in the mouth and see what happens. And, look, I'm pretty bullish on her chances as well. Zico, Rybakina's look good. We can kind of look at the final edition of the futures on both sides as of this morning. This is what the final four future odds looked like on the women's side. So the bookmakers have Rybakina as a substantial favorite going into her matchup with Azarenka today. Collins plus 430, Alexandrova plus 600. And on the men's side going into today, Alcaraz has stayed about where it was. You know, obviously the rounds are staggered. Sinner's moved up. Medvedev, that should be 3,400. Just scratch that for a second. That would have been a lot of value. That would have been a lot of value there on Medvedev. But as you can kind of see, Zverev, Dimitrov, and Rozan.
Mitch has to take that bet now.
Yeah. I mean,
Someone out there will give it to you, Mitch.
You just bet it blindly. So I know the future odds aren't really what you guys play going into the final weekend. But Kenny, anything stand out about how the odds makers are handicapping what we're seeing going into the final weekend?
No, I famously played an odds, a futures market going into the 20, and I promise I'm not saying this just to cater to Pam, but going into the 2019 Wimbledon semifinals, I played one on Halep and one on Federer. And obviously we all know what happened to Roger Federer with the match points against Novak Djokovic, but sometimes you can find value here. And I do feel like Zverev at plus 900, I think that's a bet I would take here. I mean, I think he's playing unbelievable tennis. And we saw, you know, last week or 2 weeks ago at Indian Wells, you know, he was struggling with the serving conditions and the air was changing on a daily basis. He didn't look like himself early in this tournament. You know, maybe he was lacked for confidence. And now I see a guy that's playing every bit as good as he did when he beat Carlos Alcaraz in Australia, when he beat Carlos Alcaraz at the US Open. And I think you got to give him a more fair chance here to win that match than the odds would indicate. And once again, neither of these guys threw. So obviously a little bit of that is baked into the futures market. But I don't feel like Zverev's going to have any issues with Marozhin today. And on the other side of the coin, I mean, Dimitrov has beaten Alcaraz before. Dimitrov has beaten the best players in the world. So I think if you had to pick, and I'm curious if you guys agree with me, if you had to pick a match that's a little bit tougher today for the favorite, it's probably the Dimitrov match. And with that, like, I don't know, riding Zverev at almost 10-1 to win this tournament, considering if he does get past Carlos, I think it's certainly feasible that he could beat either one of those guys on the other side. But I don't know. I also don't think that Sinner should be the second favorite here. I think Sinner should be the favorite.
So.
The price on Sinner seems off too, because he's minus, like, what is he, minus 160 today? Maybe more.
No, it's like, well, the Sinner match tomorrow, he was like 2-1. He was minus 205 as of this morning.
So that's a pretty good price considering what the final price will end up being if it is Alcaraz.
It's hard. And too, Pam, it's hard too when we do this and they're split days. So you got to also take that with a grain of salt. One guy, half this field has one less match to win.
If I had to rearrange the order, as is, Alcaraz, then Medvedev, Sinner, Zverev, and the rest go on is through. We'll talk about the picks later, but I mean, I think it's fine as is. Today, what the difference is between the split matches from yesterday to today, yesterday wind was a non-factor. Today it's an entirely different beast. You have 15 mile per hour winds, 30 mile per hour gusts, and it's hotter. Today's going to be 85 to 87 degrees, the hottest day of the tournament so far. That's going to come into play. Wind is more of an equalizer when it comes to the players, but it is, if we're talking purely about the split changes yesterday to today, two different scenarios.
Okay. Well, Zico, she's coming for your weather corner. I think that's what I got out of that.
I don't want to be the weather guy anymore, but I will say Dimitrov was so bad in the wind against Medvedev and Indian Wells.
Yeah. What a weird couple matches for Dimitrov, right? He goes 45 minutes one day and he goes 2 hours and 45 minutes the next. I've been on fumes in that one. Sorry, Kenny, on that one. It was an unfortunate, you know, that net rule really did do you in a little bit there. Hubie touched.
Yeah, that was just a bad break. I don't know. I mean, he did touch the net. I don't know what Hubie was so mad about. I think he was more upset with himself, but he also could have put that ball away really easily without doing the little Medvedev bunt at the net. So I don't know, man. That was tough luck. And then Khachanov that was, again, one of the best matches I've seen Zverev play since the injury 2 years ago. So, what are you going to do? You move on.
I just say Hubie's gotten maybe to be the best at the non-breaking your racket throws. Like he just throws it horizontally, like he knows it's just not going to do any damage. So at least that part.
Yeah, he didn't get a code. He broke his racket and he didn't get a code violation. Isn't that not the rule? If you break it, you have to buy. You know, you buy it. You get the fine.
Yeah,
you break it, you buy it. Yeah,
I know that should be the way we go. We do have some picks today on this show. So West matches Zverev Morozin starts tentatively in 20 minutes. So we'll lead you into that match. And we got a couple on that one. So I want to start with Pam, your pick of the day. Now we have conflicting picks on this one, but there is a scenario. But there is a scenario where everybody wins money. So I just want to point that out there as well.
Going with Fabian Morozin now that I know how to properly pronounce his name. Morozin plus 3.5 games to Zverev because Zverev's playing style. I talked about the wind conditions. 15 mile per hour winds, 30 mile per hour gusts. Zverev's playing style relies on precision and powerful shots, starting with his serve. Windy conditions can disrupt his accuracy, can disrupt his power. Now, it works for both players, but in comes a mental game. And I saw both at Indian Wells and Miami, Zverev had some frustration, even asking the chair umpire for more time on his serve. Come on, man, can't do that. But wind aside, Morozin, I've loved what I've seen from him. Has the skills to keep Zverev guessing, and that's what you need in tennis. Mix up your ground strokes, your slice game, your drop shots. Disrupt Zverev's rhythm. Target his backhand because that is considered his weaker side. Attack that, come into the net, play aggressive, putting Zverev on defense. Plus, Morozin has proven the ability to compete at a high level. Another big server against Hurkacz. Highly competitive. Defeated Demonar twice now. I like him plus 3.5 games. And I myself, I'm going to throw it out there. I did plus 290 on the money line. Little sprinkle.
Well, I think the stat that I like, I'm going to float here, is he's 4-1 in his career versus the top 10, which is just an absurd way to start your career, especially.
Ugo Humbert-Jean.
Yeah, that's actually 24 years old, and it's a strange one, right? Because he hasn't had much Masters experience. You're like, well, where was this guy? How he wasn't qualifying. Now he is qualifying. He's just beating players. So fourth Masters event in his career, and he makes the quarterfinal. That's a staggering statistic. But Kenny's got a little different read on this match. Your Ducey Dime of the Day is under 22.5 games, minus 120. What's the thought process here, and why are we going under?
Yeah, I just think you got to trust what your eyes are telling you. And it's been a great run for Morozin here. I know, obviously, I've said it the last two shows, I believe, that this guy, he picks three tournaments a year. Most of the time they're big tournaments and he plays his best tennis. And I think the whole world would love to see Morozin and Alcaraz rematch again, because obviously he did beat him on the clay last year. But to really just kind of be like, hey, I'm a player, I can be a top 100 player. Sure. So I think this is just a match where Morozin gets hit off the court. I think, Zverev, Pam mentioned, and it's true that Morozin's going to try to come to the net a lot. I think that's generally a way that a lot of people will try to beat Alexander Zverev. We've seen it with Carlos Alcaraz now the last couple of times they've played. He will come to the net himself. He'll force the issue. He's not as bad at the net as he was 3 years ago. And I just think the serving here, especially in the hot conditions, is just going to be way too much for Morozin to handle. I do feel like he's just overmatched. I think potentially in a few years, this is going to be an interesting rivalry, maybe an interesting match. But I don't know if you can play much better than Zverev did against Khachanov. He looks locked in. He looks focused. And I just think ability-wise, he's way better than Morozin, at least at this early stage of the Hungarian's career. So I'll take the under 22.5. I think he wins this one and makes quick work of him. Or, maybe as Zverev sleepwalks out of the locker room and just doesn't have any energy like he's done sometimes, and Morozin, beats him down. So who knows? But I think the under. Yeah, the under's in play.
Zico, I was going to ask as well, like, how important on Kenny's final point is this first set? Because this feels like the first set is as crucial as any in the betting streets.
Yeah, it is. And I could see it going 7-5 and then Zverev wins a straightforward second one. Like, I was a little more worried about Zverev than Alcaraz today, but not particularly worried about either. I will say Kenny made a good point about the heat. Morozin is like a little Jack Draper in that he can struggle through conditions sometimes. Mm.
It's going to be a good one because I think this match, we got Dimitrov Alcaraz as well. And that's another one where we got some action on the board. The odds are skewed. Obviously, when you see a number like minus 710, you're like, how can we figure out a way to make money. What's the play? But these degenerates that I'm talking to now know that way. And one of them has a pick today, Zico. You're straight. And Kenny, actually, are you on this as well? Kenny, just want to confirm.
No, well, I mean, I'll take it because, you know, why not?
I'm not going to give it to you.
Day. You know, there's a lot of bets being made today.
Yeah, look, we're not gonna go synergy because this is Zico sticking his reputation on the line. Like his hard-earned reputation could be gone in an instance if this doesn't hit. So we're gonna put him on the island. Alcaraz to win in straight sets -150. You like Carlitos to handle business against Grigor Dimitrov, who's now made every quarterfinal there is in the Masters, but riding with the young Spanish bull.
Yeah, Dimitrov beat him in Shanghai last year in October, but that was kind of when Alcaraz was playing poorly after Wimbledon. I'm not putting a lot of stock into what we saw from him after that run last year. I think he was tired. He beat Dimitrov in straight sets 3 times in a row before that. And I just kind of think that this version of Carlos is going to be a little tough for Dimitrov to overcome. He has career highs in both hold and break percentage. I think the serve has been really good this year. It's kind of flipped a weakness of his into a strength. And Dimitrov's coming off like a really physical match against Hurkacz, and yeah. I don't think he's played particularly well this tournament. So I do think it's going to be hard for him to win. I think the best chance Dimitrov would have is to kind of just slice away and hope Alcaraz makes mistakes. But we haven't really seen that from Alcaraz, especially at Indian Wells. Like, he was avoiding those mistakes we've seen from him in the last year or so.
Exactly. Yeah, and just to piggyback on that, Zico, I mean, you look back, the last time this guy made it out of the third round in Miami was 2016. He's only made the fourth round here. That's his career best finish in his very long, illustrious, beautiful career in several trips here. And you mentioned the draw. Like, I mean, he's really had no business winning that match against Hubie Hurkacz. I think potentially the head-to-head came in to play a little bit. That was the third time now Hubie's lost to Grigor in a deciding set tiebreak in, I think, 5 matches, which is just insane. And I think all but one of them went to a late third set. So potentially a little bit of a mental hurdle there for Hubie. But the draw outside of that has just been absolutely abysmal. I mean, Yannick Hanfmann, Alejandro Tobillo, and then that match that he kind of just skated by in a very physical affair. So I don't know if he's really ready to face Carlos Alcaraz at this point. And, you know, people will look back at that Shanghai match as a little bit of a hope for Grigor winning. And obviously, I would love to see some fireworks here. No offense to you and your bet, but I don't know, man. I feel like it's pretty easy to chalk that up to Carlos having a very long schedule. You know, we obviously talked a lot last year about how he went to play Hopman Cup after the Wimbledon final, and that kind of threw off the rest of his season. He was just tired. He lost to Fabian Morozhan, which was shocking. He lost to Sebi Korda. So I don't know. I think there's plenty of reasons to just point to, yeah, Alcaraz was tired in that match. And I don't know if that's like grounds to say Grigor is going to have some magical showing here, especially at a tournament he's just never played well at.
I was trying to find a reason to play this match. I really wanted to. Then the only option that I could really come up with was taking the over on 22, possibly it going 3 sets, because Dimitrov, he is a really good player. He has a very strong return game. The way that he could make Alcaraz uncomfortable is by forcing him to play some of those extra balls, inducing some of those errors. Problem is, Alcaraz hasn't really had many errors. But the way Zico mentioned it, the only way that Dimitrov really can disrupt Carlitos's rhythm is by going into a heavy slice game, which he's capable of. The reason why I backed off of it and did not end up playing this match at all is because if I'm talking about wind is going to be a factor, when you have a one-handed backhand, that can be a lot more susceptible to the effects of wind. So Dimitrov is going to need to be even that much more precise, have that much more better timing and control. And because of the unknown factor of that, you have seen him play. It's very difficult for a one-hander. So I'm backing off. I would lean now more towards the Zico play. But for me, it's a stay away because of the wind.
I also want to correct myself. I have the years mixed up. And to be honest, who can blame you when the years just all seem to blend together? But no, that was – you lost to Roman Safiulin. And then that was also the Tommy Paul inserting himself into that little rivalry as well. And then the Medvedev loss at the U.S. Open was quite shocking as well.
Nobody – just want to put a bow with the banner on the screen. Nobody has any desire to do the game spread, 4.5?
I liked it at 4. I think 4, but I also think 4 can be like a push, like maybe a 1-set tiebreak, because it is going to be the wind's going to be a factor for all 4 players today. So that's going to be a bit of an equalizer. But if I think something is a little bit more 50-50, I would lean towards Carlos -4. No strong feel.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/MBO. Terms and conditions apply.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Well, good to know. Well, Tennis Bets is going to roll along with some picks here. Again, streaming on all your platforms, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Also, you know, feel free to join the comment section and the chat section. Obviously, keep it respectful. But some good stuff as well. I just want to flash this comment on the screen right now because I thought it was a good point based on the Morozov and Zverev match that's about to start. You know, our guy's saying he's a disruptor, but if Zverev is serving well, he should get by him. So I think there's your two storylines right there.
Yeah, classic Waffler comment there. Oh, well, you know, wouldn't surprise me if Morozov won, but also Zverev should win. So he just...
Kenny's attacking the fans.
Yeah, Kenny.
I thought the comment you were going to point out, which is...
1980s heel heat here, Kenny. Is
that's so right. I have to be, someone has to be the heel. No, I love you, Daniel. Thank you for watching. No, I thought the comment you were going to point out was that someone mentioned Carlos 2-0 is now minus 200. Zico, of course, did get that as the sharp man he is. When did you get that? Last night? So yeah, maybe like yesterday?
Afternoon, yeah.
Yeah, and that match is going down early. I was looking at the odds. Alcaraz is under minus 500 now. So there's a lot of live movement there. As is always, we try to just, you know, that's the game. It's like playing the stocks. You got to get in when you can. Miami women's semifinal odds. No official picks from you guys, but we can talk this out and see what we're thinking. Collins and Alexandrova as of this morning. Collins minus 172, Alexandrova plus 142. Zico, we all know about Danimal and what she's capable of, especially here. But Alexandrova just keeps knocking off top players. And I do have a stat for you guys in a second, but how do you see this match going? Is there a betting angle you're curious about? What's your read on this one?
I think I will end up parlaying the two favorites in the women's game. I think I'll take Collins and Rybakina at like plus 120 together, which I what I saw it at earlier. I just think the Collins, like I said, the return game has been ridiculous this tournament. And like all year, honestly, it's almost at like 40% break percentage, which is just almost unsustainable, but she's been at like 35% before in the past. Like she's such a good returner. If she's serving, you know, decent, like she will win this match pretty easily. And the baseline stuff from her has been insane this tournament. Like the cross court backhand, she's hitting that for like clean winners way more often than you'd think she would.
Yeah, I know it doesn't help her in this match because Collins isn't top 10, though she's playing like it. But Alexandrova with the win last night now has a win over every top 10 player, which is kind of an interesting stat given where the rankings have gone and what it would be like if she played Rybakina in the next round. But Kenny, I think Collins is a smart play, but given what we know about how there's been a lot of regression to the mean at times, especially on the WTA, it would not shock me if she did come back to earth a little bit. Now, Alexandrova's baseline, not playing from the baseline, but her mean level has been pretty good. So I think there could be fireworks, and I would go probably over in this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I you spoiled my pick for the next match, but no, I do feel like I actually would lean towards Alexandrova in this match. I don't think she's going to win. That's why I'm not ultimately going to play it. But that is the bet I think I would make. I just feel like her draw has been just as good as Danielle Collins' draw, but I mean, the scary part about fading Danielle here is when she gets in this mood, she is very difficult to beat. You know, we obviously saw her go to that storybook final in Australia 2 years ago. She beat Iga. She beat Elise Mertens early, who was playing pretty well, and then gave Ash Barty kind of a run for her money there, 7-6, 6-3. Like, it's not out of the realm of possibilities that she just takes this tournament into her own hands and wins it, and I do feel like it could be destiny at this point. It's also sad to see her retiring at 30 when she can still play this well, but that's another story. I think, and she's had a great career. It's her right. But yeah, I mean, I think Alexandrova is every bit as good as the top 20 women in the world. I think she's always had that talent. It's just been about putting it together and finding the consistency and finding the mental fortitude. And I feel like she's been able to do that. Two really tough opponents in a row. Pavlyuchenkova, obviously a Grand Slam finalist just a couple of years ago as well. Like I think both these women are playing so well. It's a hard one to call. And that's why I think getting like plus 145 on Alexandrova who looks in the mood as well right now, is not a terrible bet.
Yeah, and we make our comments and jokes. Obviously, it seems like Collins retiring has a lot to do with some of the stuff she's gone through off the court as well. So, I think this is alive. This is the land of opportunity here. But Alexandrova, you can't hate on what she's done. That Pagula match was physical. It was intense, and she pulled it out. So we'll see. I mean, I think that's something to keep an eye on, as is our second semifinal match. Rybakina, a solid favorite over Victoria Azarenka. You know, look, I mean, Zico, the stats say what they are. Rybakina's 3-0 head-to-head and has kind of had the hammer in this rivalry, but Vika continues to compete and continues to evolve a little bit. But I think it's the rhythm serving for Rybakina. When she's in a groove, pretty hard to get a read on what she's doing and asserting herself like we all thought as one of the premier players in the game.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough for Azarenka to win with the way she, you know, her second serve is just slow right now. And I do think that, you know, longer rallies would not normally go to Rybakina against other top players, but I do think that this one would favor her because I do think Azarenka's movement's going a little bit. I mean, she has a great baseline game, but if the shots go 20-ish, I mean, longer rallies are going to go to Rybakina.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on this match or ways to bet it? I'm all ears.
I mean, look, I don't think we're giving Azarenka enough credit for her first serve as well. I mean, she disguises it so well. I think she can manage to stick in this match for a little bit. And you mentioned the head-to-head, but it's sort of a little tricky, right? Because, you know, other than the Indian Wells match when they first met, the last two meetings have been very tight. She covered 4.5 games the second to last time they played. And then the last time they played, which was this year, she had to retire with an injury after taking the first set and then fading in the second physically and then retiring. I think a three-time winner here in Miami, a player that, yes, the second serve is a liability, the movement's a liability, but I think she can do enough with her first here to stifle Rybakina and ultimately get through maybe a set. But I think the over is a pretty good play here. I don't really want to drink the juice on the 4.5 games at -150. If you are at a book that does offer round numbers, or whole numbers, which is hard to find, plus 4 games, I think, would be a really good play. I think you could probably, just judging by the price, get that at like -120, maybe even -115. And that would be where I would go here just because, as I said, it's a matchup that has been a little bit tighter ever since their first meeting. I think Azarenka is sort of figuring out how to solve Rybakina's serve a little bit. For the moment, for the reasons that Zico mentioned, it would be tough to see her winning this match outright. But I do feel like it's going to be a little interesting. That's why I like the over ultimately. But 4 games, if you can get that whole number, I would take that for sure.
That's why I like the plus money on the parlay, because like I don't trust Collins to win anything but a close match against, like, I think it's going to be really tightly contested. And I do think this match, like, I'm not willing to lay the -300 on Rybakina. So yeah, I think this is the best way to do it.
You got people in the chat saying Alcaraz Rybakina parlay too. So I don't know.
But I also like Mitch's prediction for Collins match to go over as well, because the pressure situation is, like, we can talk about the skill sets of both players, but the pressure situation, she's heavily into the media right now. So if it comes down to where she wins the first set, it's very difficult to go ahead and close out a match. So, I mean, just like the mental aspect of it could come into play.
That was great, by the way. It was more like Nick Saban at halftime of that one interview. That instead of being like, oh, you know, I've just made my decision, she was kind of like, stop asking me about this. Yeah. It's over. But yeah, last thing on the Azarenka Rybakina match. I don't know if we want to get, you know, it's that season, March Madness, baseball starting, golf going on. If there's any props or anybody wants to get in there. And Kenny, I just threw this out there because you mentioned Azarenka's first serve being pretty good. 10 aces total in the match is +115. So. Yeah,
that's always one I always have to look back at the head-to-head stats with how these players have been logging aces, and, you know, I just haven't really been following. I'm going to just do that right now, but I don't know. I mean, I think the bet on the aces really is probably contingent on how long you feel like this match is going to go. I mean, looking at her last match against Potentseva, you know, Azarenka came up with just 2 aces, and that was a 3-set match, and I think there are very, you know, legitimate concerns about the return for both players, but ultimately, like, I'd much rather just bet on Rybakina's ace prop than take both of these players to combine. Because if you get a 2-set match, like, I think it's feasible here that Rybakina with her serve could figure out a way to maybe hit 5-6 aces. But I don't necessarily think, like, I think you're just betting on Rybakina period here with this ace prop, and you're not necessarily factoring in anything for Azarenka. Right. So I would, I don't know. I also feel like I also feel like the book that always hangs these ace props steals your money with them. So I'll say that.
Okay.
What about win a point? Oh, sorry. You could take either one of them at plus money odds to win a point in every return game.
Oh wow, we're really deep diving here.
I thought you were going to ask me for my baseball picks today, Mitch. And yes, thank you very much. I like the New York Yankees and the Oakland Athletics to win.
I'm just going to ignore. They're still in Oakland. We're going to
just opening day, baby. Going to be an emotional night.
Those props that Zico threw out, I feel like we're in his brain and when he's in total chase mode. but no, there's some good opportunities as well. It's 10 o'clock West Coast, 1 o'clock East Coast. So the match was Zverev should be.
Yeah, nobody cares about the West Coast. Come on.
Well, I'm just going to ignore that one. As of right now, the odds going into tomorrow's semifinal match that we know as of literally 30 seconds ago, this is what we're looking at. Sinner Medvedev, Sinner minus 200, Medvedev plus 164. Pam, I'll start with you. This price, again, given what Sinner's done, also Medvedev has still the lead in this rivalry, but is 0-4 in his last four. So thoughts on this number going into tomorrow's match?
I haven't gone to the window with it yet. I'm contemplating my early thoughts. Medvedev plus 165 as the underdog. The conditions for Miami, they've kind of muted Sinner's power. Now, whether it's the conditions or whether it's a little bit of fatigue, but Sinner is just so many miles better than his opponents that it hasn't really been threatening to him. But we are not seeing the same level of strength that we saw at Indian Wells. Now, if you're playing against Medvedev, well, then you better watch out because Medvedev's backhand, that's going to be key. His flat type of ball is going to be very effective, extract some of those errors from Sinner's backhand, dominate the backhand-to-backhand exchange, force him to make some of those mistakes. Now, where I like Medvedev right now is he is still very much playing so solid from the baseline. Now, if you can avoid hitting to Sinner's forehand, neutralize some of Sinner's offense, be patient, be the solid playmaker that you are from the baseline, frustrate Sinner, and wait for the opportunities to attack. I like this tournament for Medvedev.
I'm going to get to some other interesting ways to bet this match, but I want to hear your thoughts first. So, Kenny, this number and then where we go in this match.
Yeah, I think looking at, you know, Medvedev listing Sinner 6-4, I think ultimately that's certainly scary. Sorry, I don't know if you picked up on that joke. You just had a little bit of a typo there. And I've always given you credit for being an incredible stream yarder. So No, I think it is scary. Obviously, taking a guy that's just had Medvedev's number ever since Sinner was a little bit younger, coming up onto the scene, not a top 10 player. Those are where the wins for Medvedev had come. ATP Cup was sort of the first time, ATP Finals in Italy was sort of the first time we saw Sinner figure out a way to beat Medvedev as a late entrant because there was an injury. So it was a meaningless match for both, but still looked really good in front of the home crowd. I mean, yeah. I just think when you look back at Australia, Medvedev clearly had a game plan that worked. Whether or not it was just fatigue driven was another story. But being way more aggressive, I thought that was a match that Medvedev would have won if he didn't go 5 hours with Hubie Hurkacz just a day or a day and a half before. I think that the odds are a little bit off here. I would think that Medvedev has a way to beat Sinner here given that game plan. And look, I think Casper Ruud said it best when Pam was mentioning stay away from the Sinner forehand. Like, you know, he was like, everyone knows, right, that you want to stay away from the Rafa forehand, but like, or vice versa. Like every time, you know, people know that you want to, you know, exploit weaknesses in the opponent. Sometimes they're just so good that it makes it impossible to do that. And I think that was for the ball kid that got hit by Jacques.
I think it's your baseball picks. They're not happy. So.
Yeah, no, but I think ultimately Medvedev is good enough to stay away from the Sinner forehand. I thought we saw that in Australia. So ultimately, I think he can find some success here. Again, I liked when he was just uber aggressive and like he was like 2017 Med against Sinner in the Australian Open final. And if we see that again, I think this is a really interesting match. So I don't mind taking him at the plus money here whatsoever. You know, aside from the fact that Sinner was just so magical, so dominant here last year and has been, you know, dating back to when he went to the final and lost to Hubie years and years ago. So it's again, one of those situations like the Collins match where it's like, do I really see Sinner losing this match? It's like it's a very scary bet, but I think the odds are a little bit drifted towards Sinner a little bit too much. I would take Med.
you know, last year he gets to the final, Medvedev beats him, and that was really the end of the one-way traffic in that rivalry. Sinner kind of kept it going, and that's why I flashed those picks at the bottom. I would favor Sinner to win this match, but if you can give me Medvedev winning a set in some way, you can bet it, whether it's over 2.5 sets total or just calling your shot that Sinner wins in three. I think there's some value there, but Zico, you know, the number reflects what Sinner has accomplished in the last couple months, and you know, he hasn't been at his best, as Pam said, but Medvedev is somebody that will continue to rise and compete and maybe, dare I say, amp up his game, come out for that first set, right? Because like we saw it even in the Alcaraz match last week, when he's playing one of these best players, he knows he has to be locked in early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I played Medvedev before the tournament, so I'm not touching this, but I did play it thinking that he would play Sinner, and I do like his chances of beating Sinner on these courts. I think that Kenny said it well. You know, like, he was really aggressive early on in that Australian Open match, and I do think he's going to bring that again here, and if that were a best of three match, he would have won it. So I think that – oh, my dog's about to go crazy.
There we go. Dogs and fire trucks.
Pam just walked in. yeah, but I do think that like he has the ability to play aggressive tennis. He's going to be able to do it now for the full three sets. I don't think he's going to be losing steam here.
I think
what that means is the dogs are barking.
I think the Oakland A's are going to win tonight now.
They really like Sinner and straights. I think we've got a opinion difference.
And I'm in the same realm as Zico. Like, I did my draw predictions, posted to social prior to the tournament, and the prediction was that it would be Sinner and Medvedev would come through. So I'm not going to change my mind now, and I haven't seen anything to want to change my mind as of yet.
Yeah,
that's great. So we all agree. That's boring and also terrible.
No, because we were all on Carritos as our three amigos pick to win my Indian Wells. So if we're all three on it now,
that bucked the trend. But it's like sometimes the betting gods throw you a bone. You know what I mean?
We're talking out how this match is going to go. Like, are there people here that like straight sets? Like, honestly, I'm just hashing this out.
Oh, well, let me ask you this before y'all answer that. Let me ask you this. It is hot, humid. And I know we saw both of them run deep into this tournament last year, but is there any one player between Medvedev and Sinner who looks a little bit more susceptible to faltering under these conditions right now?
You can't tire Medvedev out.
I don't think Medvedev's human, so I'm going to say not him.
Exactly. I think if this falls into sets, it's because Sinner at times. Oh, his face is red. He's feeling it. He just hasn't shown it yet.
I think the biggest thing with Sinner too is that he's, you know, we talked about the fitness, how he lost a lot of these long matches. I think he's playing more efficient tennis. I think one of the biggest adjustments is that Cahill and the team did was, look, just don't play as long rallies and you'll be fresher, and it's clearly worked. So yeah, look, weather is a factor. We've seen people drop in and we've seen issues with the heat, but you know, this being best of three should alleviate that a little, but I just think to each player to win a set would be where I would look at in this match, because I mean
this is going to be a physical match. We could see Yannick Limper come out here. I don't know. I think this could Med could break him down.
Troll Medvedev is coming back.
I mean, him and Dan Evans last year with the fake limp was just I'll share a story. I'll never forget. It had nothing to do with Dan Evans and Antonio Medvedev, but I was at the U.S. Open covering that match with Sinner and Zverev, where Zverev won. I believe that was last year. And like going to the bathroom after the fourth set, everyone in the bathroom was like, "Oh man, it's just such a shame that Sinner's hurt. You know, like he would so easily win this match. Like terrible. You know, people just devastated that this guy picked up an injury." And I turned to the guy. I'm like, he's not hurt. Are you serious? Like, and we were talking offline, you know, me and Zico, about how when Sinner gets hurt, when he starts limping, like it actually makes him better. Like he just starts swinging freer with his arms and just obliterates.
It's like Yubi with the head off. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think that's a special power, but no, I think, it doesn't translate to Holger Rune, but no, I think we're all in agreement here that Med could definitely be a live underdog, and Tudank also was not in agreement with me. And
okay, all right, no baseball, no softball.
No, he took a shot at softball, which I play softball very frequently here in New York City.
I am curious to see Sinner just kind of get punched in the mouth, though. Like, if Medvedev comes out aggressive like he did last time, like, I know that he came back from two sets down in the Australian Open final, but I don't think he wins that match if Medvedev has anything left. So I think it'll be interesting to see if Medvedev kind of puts his front foot forward, what happens.
I do also want to address on Twitter, one of my followers, when I tweeted the Marjan plus 3.5 games, that the bagel that he had in his last match scared him off of this. And I think what people also tend to realize is that players kind of do tend to forfeit a set once they're kind of like, all right, you know what? Screw this. Save, preserve your energy, because he won the first set. He can do that in the second set and know that he's going to push himself for the third. Yeah. So I'm not at all worried about that second set. Things got away from him. And then at a certain point, he made the decision to let it go. I'm going to play the third.
I would be much more worried about Zverev playing out of his skull right now than a scoreline in Marozhin's previous set.
Zverev's forehand against Khachanov was incredible.
Players do forfeit sets, and Tennis Bets has nothing to do with that. So that's the other thing.
It's hard not to add a side of hot, crispy hash browns to your favorite McDonald's breakfast. It's even harder not to eat said hash browns before you get home. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Lastly, I mean, we know that Alcaraz is on the quest for Zico, as you know, the double sunshine. And there's a lot of debate on, you know, how this path would look for him. Do we want to try to play guess the line on what a final would be?
Between Alcaraz and Sinner, or between Alcaraz
or Medvedev? I mean, if you want to throw out what you think numbers could be, I'm all ears, because I know Kenny famously nailed the RG one, but it's a tough test.
I think Medvedev, it would be like Alcaraz minus 220, to be honest.
Really? I was going to go way more. I was going to go double that. I think if it was Alcaraz Medvedev, then it would be Alcaraz minus like 4.
Do you remember what the line was in Indian Wells? Because I don't, and I'm thinking it's going to be closer based on conditions.
Between
sure.
who? Sinner and Alcaraz? I gotta close my window when I record.
I thought it was Alcaraz like minus 245. Was it?
I meant Alcaraz Medvedev. Sorry, should have clarified that. The Alcaraz Medvedev line will be closer in this tournament than in Indian Wells, because Medvedev has won this tournament and the conditions are just better for him.
The game line was it would be Carlos closer to the minus 3, like the 350 range, 3 to 350, because. I'm going to assume that the game line would be 3.
Was he 400 at Indian Wells? Because that's interesting.
I don't remember what it was at Indian Wells.
I would say Sinner Alcaraz. I think they're probably going to price Sinner at minus 130. Given it, I think Carlos was plus 130 last time at Indian Wells, and then he won. But Sinner probably with Miami got still an edge here. And they're going to, as we know about the odds makers, they are stubborn. So I think Carlos gets a little bit of more love, but I don't think too much. But I think in the Medvedev match, I don't know why, but I mean, the first number that came to mind was minus 185 for Carlos. I think that's probably where it would be. Although looking back at previous matches, yes, I think, I don't know. It just depends. If Medvedev looks really good against Sinner today, I could see them pricing it inside of minus 200 for Carlos. But ultimately, you know, as we've learned with Carlos and Zverev, I mean, what was he against Zverev at the Australian Open? Like minus 450 or minus. So, I mean, I don't know how much like Medvedev beating Carlos at the US Open is really going to factor in here. So, yeah.
It was the Indian Wells odds. It was like minus 260 for Carlos.
Yeah. That's, I mean, look, that's where I would price it, is minus 185 for Carlos. But we could probably see something like minus 230.
The recency bias is a good point, because going back to that Alcaraz Djokovic RG line, it was on the heels of Alcaraz's best match in the tournament by far, and Djokovic looking a little sluggish. So there is that to be considered. How does each player look, you know, in their next match?
Yeah, I think if Medvedev does get there with a convincing win over Sinner, I think he's going to get a lot more love here, given that he did beat Alcaraz at the US Open and like playing his 11 out of 10 tennis. You know, if he's playing his 11 out of 10 tennis, why wouldn't he be able to win again? So,
yeah, well, I'm never going to try to guess what the bookmakers are going to do. Just tell me what the line is when the line comes out.
we like to speculate a little bit here, but like it's.
I don't know
fun.
What Alcaraz Sinner would be though. That's a tough one.
I mean, it should be a pick'em, but I just feel like they're going to give a little slight edge to Sinner here. Like I said, minus 130, minus 125.
I would think they're never going to make it Carlos an underdog again. It would be closer to.
Yeah, but Miami, though, I mean, literally the same story is unfolding again, a second straight year where Carlos wins on the slower court and then Sinner blew him away last year in Miami. I don't know.
I think there's, man, it's hard to read. It is. It's like, yeah. It's hard to read what the bookmakers are going to do.
And I do feel like we've seen over the last 2 years now that Sinner is, I think, almost better than Carlos, right? I mean, at least when they've played, he's sort of, I mean, I remember 2 years ago, I was talking about like how this wasn't even really a rivalry because just Alcaraz was way better. And then over the last year and a half, I think Sinner has just proven that he's better than Carlos, at least when it's not like a slower court, because he just can't hit through quite as well. Mm-hmm. And clay and slower hard courts are ultimately going to be Yannick's only weakness here. So I don't know. I think that the odds makers are probably in agreement here. And we also have to note that Sinner is the second favorite here. I think it's probably because he has the tougher semi. So
yeah,
I don't know.
What an interesting clay season we're going to have too, just knowing that. So, all right. Well, yeah,
without Sinner winning every tournament, I think it's going to be really interesting. That's why I like Zverev to win Roland Garros, saying it for a fifth time.
And Sinner takes a step back. Well, all right. Hey, this has been fun. Final thoughts on the Miami Open, this run we've had, and also just thoughts in tennis in general.
It is time for Klavanev.
Wow.
My thoughts are that the rain that was just absolutely ruining our week is now made it up to New York. And just want to say shout out to Mother Nature for just an absolutely terrible start to this tournament. Do better.
Do better. Mm-hmm.
Do better. Kenny doesn't have softball to go to today since it's raining. But player coach, honestly. So that's good. Guys, this has been fun. A lot of good analysis, a lot of good thoughts on tennis bets. You can check all of our episodes on YouTube, tennis.com, Facebook, and Tennis Bets Twitter, and listen to us on the Tennis Channel Podcast Network on all your podcast apps. We're going to be back probably in 2 weeks or so. We're going to take next week off, and then we'll be back for the clay court run. So definitely look out for that. We've got a lot of good, exciting content on tennis bets. But for Kenny Ducey, Pamela Maldonado, and Zachary Cohn, I'm Mitch Michaels. Thank you for watching or listening. Good luck out there, and we'll be talking to you soon.